continuing in our series titled, The Ten Commandments, Do They Still Matter? Today we come to the third commandment. It's not a very long message, but I think it is very applicable to our daily lives. Now, if you remember the first two commandments, does anyone remember what the first commandment is? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. All right, God is one, right? God is one. And the second is, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Really could have taught on that verse for a couple weeks. But we captured the depth, what I believe that the Lord was intending us to know through the commandment. Thus far, we've seen how the Ten Commandments are still needed in this day and age. Would you agree or would you not agree? Amen. I agree too. They set the moral standard for a civilized society. And they tell us how God should be revered. When people lose sight of these laws, societal collapse is not far behind. Amen. We can see it, can't we? We can see it. The holy laws, even Brett can see it. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate that. The holy laws of God also tell us what He expects regarding holy living. The law tells us what sin is. You know, the law tells us what sin is. It doesn't have to be this vague gray area in the margins or relegated to the distance somewhere. The law tells us what sin is and ultimately points to the need for a Savior, because knowing the holiness that God demands, we instantly realize that none of us can live up to those standards. Failing to live up to the standards of righteousness, of God's righteousness, means suffering the penalty for breaking His law. That penalty is called wrath. It is called wrath. But thanks be to God, you know what I'm about to say now? Jesus paid our penalty. Therefore, we are not appointed to wrath. That's right, we are not appointed to wrath. Nevertheless, the law still shows us the path to holy living and helps us to know right from wrong. Did you know that sin is actually breaking God's laws? Knowing the right thing, but choosing the wrong thing. In 1 John 3, verse 4, here's how, do we have in the NIV? The New King James Version. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Here's what the NIV says. Everyone who sins breaks the law being the Ten Commandments of God. In fact, it says, sin is lawlessness, as if there is no law. So it is breaking the laws of God. That is what sin is and His righteous standard. So today we're going to unpack the third commandment, looking at three interpretations of what it means to take the Lord's name in vain. Let's read, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, if you're not already there. You'll find the third commandment beginning in verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You know, I detest many things about Hollywood movies. I used to live not far from the sign. I could see it on the hill. My prayer is that they would just all tumble down the hill one day. It might need an earthquake to actually make that happen. They're triple reinforced up there. But I detest many things about Hollywood movies. But at the top of my list is the irreverent abuse of the Lord's name. It often occurs, if you haven't noticed, deep in the movie, after the plot has thickened and you're caught up in all the trappings of a film, after they've hooked you, and then they drop the Lord's name in vain. And not just once or twice, but it becomes like a party word. So we use a service, our family uses a service called Clear Play. Is anybody familiar with that? It's about $12.99 a month. It's not very much money at all. It's called Clear Play. We use that on nearly everything that we watch, especially when it's family movie night. Even if it is a family-friendly, whatever that means these days. I don't know what family they're talking about. They're not talking about my family-friendly rated movie. We remove any content that even remotely misuses the Lord's name. That's the first thing we look for. As well as any adult content and profanity. ClearPlay takes it all out. It's pretty cool. They work with Amazon Prime, I believe Netflix, Disney Plus, I believe all the major streamers that you can use ClearPlay to stream. I highly recommend it. When we first started using it, it had a lot of bugs, and we were on the phone with them a lot, and they've gotten a lot better. So we use that. You notice that the movie makers, they never take any other name in vain except God's or Jesus' name. You never hear them, oh, all of this, or Buddha, and you know, nothing. It's always God or Jesus' name, isn't it? It's intentional. It's always like as if they're trying to jump up and slap the Lord or slap Christians. We have noticed that when we watch a movie, just talk about ClearPlay for a second, this is true, isn't it? So we'll take all the references to the Lord's name out. We'll take all profanity. We leave words in like dumb and stupid and stuff because, you know, it's not quite as bad. But if you're raising kids not to talk that way, you can take them out as well. We also take out any adult reference, contact. We know when that movie is done, we've not lost anything. We're like, man, that was a great movie, and look at all the junk we took out of this. It's amazing. Like, really, it's just time and time again. Like, that was a good movie, minus all the junk. ClearPlay. And I believe there's another one out there. I forgot what it's called. A competitor. So, the prohibition of using God's name as a curse word is one of many interpretations of this third commandment. There are a few interpretations of exactly what it means to take God's name in vain. But since we've already mentioned it, let's begin by discussing using God's name irreverently. To know how not to use it, we need to know what it is. So what is God's name? We all have names that mean something. Most of us were given a name with a meaning behind it. Let's look at God's name. His name is Yahweh. And let's look at when it was first given. Turn to Exodus chapter 3, if you would. Chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. So just to set the context of this, if you're not familiar with it, the Israelites have been set free from Egypt. There's well over a million, maybe a million and a half of them that are marching through the desert on their way to the promised land. Moses, this hasn't happened yet. But this is where Moses first encounters God. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said,
I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, oh great. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. Now, when we read this in our English translation, we miss what was in the Hebrew. And it is in the Hebrew that we find God's name. So let me just recap a little bit. Israel was not in the wilderness at this time. Moses had fled Egypt, and he'd been traveling through the wilderness. He finally was found by this family, and he became the sheep herder, if you will. And as he's herding the sheep, he saw this mountain, Mount Sinai, and it was just aflame, and God's presence was on that mountain. So Moses ascended to the mountain, and that's where he encountered the living God of the encounter we just had. So let me sum this up. So in response to Moses asking what God's name is, God says the famous words, I am that I am. In Hebrew, this is Hal-Yal. Hal-Yal. Sounds like something my grandma used to say back in Tennessee. Hal-Yal, come on in. Indicating his nature as being all-sufficient in every circumstance. Then in the very next breath, verse 15, God reveals that his name, which encompasses both his nature and his person. Do you see where it says the Lord? The Lord. That is the word Yahweh. The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial to all generations. So yes, his name is I am that I am. That would be correct. Hal-Yal is that the Hebrew name for that. But it is more of a name that encompasses his nature, being all sufficient, that he is sufficient in everything. But then when we get over and say Lord, that is his name, Lord. And we're going to find out that it is not just a name of Lord, but it encompasses nearly the complete character of God. And probably even in what he has revealed to us, it is insufficient in his name. So we feel comfortable saying that his name is Yahweh. Flip over now to Exodus 34, verses 6 through 8. And by the way, as you're turning there, just so you know, the name Jehovah, there's a religion in the world who says that is the only name of God and the proper name of God. It actually was not even the name of God until about 1520 in the Middle Ages when they combined two words, Hova with Adonai. They took out the syllables of Adonai and they put them in the word Hova. So it became Ahova. This religion has built their entire religion on saying this is the only pronunciation of the name, but it is not. It is not. Yahweh is the Lord's name. So in Exodus 36, verses 6 through 8, now we get more info on the depth of God's name when God passes by Moses again, and he proclaims, Lord, Lord, that is Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious. Now we get into the definitions of what is in the name Yahweh. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. So when we take the name, the Lord's name, Yahweh, all these ideas are encompassed in that single word, Yahweh, and that is how it was understood in Judaism, and that understanding has not changed even today. So from these verses, here's the complete meaning of God's name in short form. I got these on a slide. He's merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, abounding in faithfulness and reliability, keeping steadfast love for thousands of generations, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, not clearing the guilty, i.e., he punishes the guilty, visiting iniquity on the children to the third and fourth generation, and this is, again, this is limited to those who hate God, as we talked about last week. All these characteristics are included in the depth of meaning of God's name, of the Lord's name. They speak of who he is in totality as he has revealed himself to us as Lord. Now, regarding taking his name in vain, most people do not use the name Yahweh in everyday speech. But most of us do understand the term Lord or God to represent the God of the Bible, who is our Lord, Yahweh. Thus, when we use the term God irreverently, discounting the nature of who he is and his love for us, it insults him. And because doing so is considered to be taking God's name in vain, he considers it a sin that will not go unnoticed. This would include using God's name flippantly in everyday conversation, or in a surprise or exclamatory manner. I'm not going to say it, but here's what I'm talking about. Oh my, OMG, right? That's using it irreverently. Man, blank, G, I can't believe he said that. I can't believe they did that. Oh man, oh, he won the lottery? You know, like, just using it irreverently. We need to be careful in defiling God's holy name, using it as just another word, like Rob or something. He's got a holy name. For Christians, there is no excuse. I can understand unsafe people using God's name, but for Christians, please not let it be so. Please, I was at a football game yesterday. Heard these two little girls. It was a Lutheran school we were praying. These two little girls, part of the school. And just like, oh, blank, did he really say that? Talking about boys and stuff. Oh, oh my. I don't even want to put that in your, I don't even want you to fill in the blanks, but I want you to understand what I'm saying here. Whether it is the term God or Lord, we are still referring to the same holy God of the Bible. By the way, vain means lacking, it means being worthless or lacking substance is what vain means when we take the Lord's God's name in vain. I don't believe that God is worthless in any way, nor his name. I don't believe that his name is lacking substance. We just read the substance of the Lord's name. Then there's Jesus' name. We don't even need to speak of the disrespect of using Jesus' name in an unholy manner. His name is above all names, and to which every knee will one day bow. To use it in a casual manner, in a curse word, or as an exclamation will present a cause to bring judgment upon oneself. Because in one breath, we are affirming that he is real. And in the very same breath, he is relegated to a curse word. And that will bring judgment. That will bring judgment. Another interpretation of what it means to take God's name in vain is to say that we're Christians and to live like we are not. There's a mechanic that I know of that puts on their marquee, Jesus loves you. I have used them a few times, but no longer because they lied to me. They tried to sell me parts that I didn't need. And while in the office were rocking out the heavy metal music and using profanity within earshot of their customers, I do not presume to judge their hearts or whether they are saved, but I do know that they are using Jesus' name to try to lure customers in. I have also hired vendors and contractors because they had the little fish on their ad. Has anybody ever seen that? I have learned that the little fish does not necessarily mean that they are ethical, nor does it indicate a good work ethic. It usually indicates they like sushi, is what I've learned. It's a shame, but it illustrates another idea of what the third commandment is getting at. As Christians, we need to be the hardest workers, honest truth tellers, and the most dependable because we bear the name of Jesus. And whether it's in school or on an athletic field, at a work desk, or greeting customers at Walmart, Christians need to be the most dependable because we are working unto our Lord, not for the pleasure of man, but for the pleasure of our Creator. The ancient Hebrews were warned against putting other gods above their gods. They were warned against worshiping idols. They were to be holy because the God they worshiped was and is holy. They bore his name in their identity. They were to be a nation of God's ambassadors called priests to the world. And therefore were commanded to not take his name in vain. Here is God's expectation of them. He actually spelled it out in Exodus 19. You don't need to turn there. We'll have it on the screen. Verses 5 and 6. This is where the Lord appoints a nation of Jewish priests. Says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." One commentator wrote, when the Lord first instituted the priesthood, he had the nation of Israel in mind. And what was the role of priests in ancient Israel? Primarily, they were to act as witnesses to the nations of the one true living God. They were given access to God's presence in the tabernacle, and therefore they needed to conduct themselves in a God-honoring and holy manner. We have become the nation of priests, not in substitution of Israel, but added in through the blood of Jesus Christ, serving the high priest. When they failed to be priest and instead follow the ways of the surrounding culture, worshiping the gods of the land
They broke the third commandment because they were taking God's name in vain. It was lawlessness, as we read earlier in 1 John. And by the third and the fourth generations, they were suffering instead of prospering true to God's word. Brothers and sisters, I speak to you today as one of us. I'm on a platform here, but I'm equal. This teaching applies to my life as much as it does yours. As children of God and followers of Jesus, we must ensure that we are not living as double agents or spiritual adulterers. Praying and singing on Sundays, then living like the world and talking like the world the rest of the days of the week. If so, we are breaking the third commandment. We are to bear the name of Jesus and the love of God to the lost world 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We don't take a day off from it. It is who we are. We carry the hope of a new life within us via the Holy Spirit. And when we defile the temple of God and defile God's name with our speech and our behavior, it also does not go unnoticed by God. You know, strangely, we can't often see how our behavior reflects on God's holy name. However, unsaved people usually see it easily and clearly. Therefore, what's the word they call us? Hypocrites. In comparison, there's hypocrites at Walmart, too. But the point is that we should endeavor to represent the light of God wherever we go. Here's what Jesus said about it in Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. That just doesn't make sense. Why even get a lamp if you stick it under a bowl? Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, that's what he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Am I speaking to anybody this morning? Don't raise your hand. The third most common interpretation of the third commandment is keep your word, especially if you swear by God as your witness. When we invoke the name of God, so help me God, so help me God, we better tell the truth, the whole truth, and the nothing but the truth. Our law for perjury used to be founded upon this principle. And in the fear of God, if one's testimony was to be presented in the court of law. Most courts no longer take oaths under God's name. But lying on a witness stand is still considered perjury. And its roots are in the third commandment, as well as the ninth. We'll be talking about the ninth commandment, obviously, when we get to the ninth commandment. And we'll talk more about perjuring ourselves and bearing false witness. But this idea was also a big deal in early Judaism. They had a law that said if you perjured yourself, you would receive the same punishment as the accused. Can you imagine? But they also knew that they were being a witness under God's watchful eye. Therefore, they knew that they needed to tell the truth. When we speak, let us be tellers of the truth. If it is generally understood that Christians tell the truth in the fear of the Lord, then let it be so. And let our yes be yes and our no be no sufficiently. We shouldn't need to invoke the Lord's name to convince someone that we're telling the truth. We've heard that before. I swear to blank. Don't need to do that. If you're a truthful person, they'll believe you when you just tell the truth. But should we invoke his name, Maybe you promised to do something for somebody. You promised to be somewhere. You invoke the Lord's name. Make sure that you keep your promise. And don't disparage it by lying or not following through on what you said you would do. Because it will not go unnoticed. So here's our walkout for today. Off the third commandment. Be careful not to use God's name. I'm talking about the name of God. G-O-D. Do not use God's name in a flippant or an irreverent manner. Those of you with families, help each other in this. For many people, they've had a lifetime, and that's just they've used the name, their family used the name, and no one has ever shared with them what I'm sharing with you this morning. Help each other. That's why I bring that point up. Wow, I didn't even know I said it. Help each other. Now, don't be that person that walks around behind them just going, hey, you just said it. You just said it. Don't be that person, okay? In love, just say, hey, man, you just took the Lord's name in vain. If we care, we'll say, oh, sorry. And give them permission to continue to help you change that. Whether you're talking with friends or... I had a friend I was about to go on a trip across the country with. He got in the truck and we were pulling out of the driveway and he took the Lord's name in vain. I mean, the bad one. And I said, stop the truck. And he wasn't even saved. And I said, I'll use a different name. Marty. I go, please don't use the Lord's name that way. I'm a Christian. And it offends me greatly. And he's like, at first, I think he just wanted to, you know, get defensive, you know. But then he realized, like, I was sincere. And he says, oh, man, yeah, sorry. And for the rest of our 3-week trip, he did not use that name one time. Man, praise the Lord. Sometimes we just need to stand up for God and what is right. Just say, hey, man, that really hurts me when you use the Lord's name that way because I'm a Christian. And it just kind of hurts. If they care, they'll say, oh man, I'm so sorry. And they won't do it again. The second way we can walk this out is by turning off programs that uses God's name irreverently. Because what goes in comes out. Whatever we feed on will be whatever comes back out. What goes in the ears comes back out the mouth in our actions. Try to just tune those things out of what we watch and listen to as well. The third thing is, don't swear by the Lord. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And be known as a truth teller. And then the fourth thing is, be a faithful witness for Christ in both speech and behavior. Remember, we are lights in the dark world. The world will not know light except we show it to them. That we serve a God that we respect and honor, both in what we do and what we say. Amen? All right, let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your exhortation, God, to live as witnesses in this dark world. To be mindful of the words we speak because what we say matters. Do we really believe these things? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or do we only believe them on Sundays? Do we take you with us to school and to work, in our cars, our offices? Or do we leave that part of our life still in the car? God, help us to let our light shine. Help us to be faithful witnesses to the true and living God. Holy Spirit, help us not to use God's name as a cuss word or an exclamation, a word of exclamatory word in any way, a word of surprise. Father, but may we revere your name in all that we say and do. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Folks, remember we got a membership meeting. I tell you what, we'll meet back here in about 10 minutes. And just right up here. God bless you.